Right, how you doing?
Good, what about you?
Amazing. As you were saying about when you went to Wales.
Yes.
Like the massive like man-made river thing. Yeah. Like, is it completely man-made?
Yes, so it's completely artificial and we can't swim or anything. And we can't even touch the water actually.
Is it really deep?
Yes. I mean, it looks like it is really deep. I'm not sure if there were fish inside, but anyway, we're not allowed to touch
it. A few goldfish floating past and just launched in. Some man-made seabed.
Yeah. Apparently it's really dangerous to touch. I don't know.
Say like no fishing or no swimming or no diving or whatever?
Yeah, they say like your life is in danger or something. Like,
wow.
I got really scared. I was like, okay, we really can't take a dip in there.
Is there like restaurants nearby?
No, there's nothing. Nothing. We found just a few people walking, but that's it.
Is it literally the middle of nowhere?
It's in the middle of nowhere. There's no internet, nothing. So
literally you just have to like speak to humans, see some animals, stuff that no one ever does.
Yes, and you need to like download the map, otherwise you just get lost because you don't have any internet.
Is it like a paper map you have to bring?
Oh, no. I just download the Google Maps. You know,
oh,
like
you print it off?
Yeah, or wow. You can just download, like you save basically the map on your phone.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. But you've been too, right? To Brecon,
yeah. Last went to Wales was probably 3 years ago, my family.
Oh, yeah.
We drove up. So you go across the Welsh Bridge.
Uh-huh.
You got to like pay a toll fee or something like that.
Okay.
Did you go across the bridge?
Don't remember. I'm not sure.
So there's a massive bridge that connects it from...
Oh, yeah.
And you look to the side, there's just water.
Yeah.
Water.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing bridge.
Oh, we did. Yeah, I don't know.
And then when we got into Wales, it was really foggy. Like, it was really, like, just misty.
Yeah.
And then we stayed in, I think it was a Premier Inn. Because it was just like, rather than travelling all the way.
Okay.
We just like stayed here. And the next morning we went into Wales. I think we stayed in Pembrokeshire.
Okay.
No, it was amazing though.
Yeah.
Like the walks and the hills and the valleys, and the cottage was like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Had like a log fire. It was just amazing.
Like
countryside.
It's nice to be in the countryside and you just feel more connected.
Like London just got too many people.
In London.
Yeah, like just people everywhere.
I know. It's something that you have to like first. You need to get used to it, and if you're a big city guy then.
I moved to London big. 6 months ago.
Ah, where were you before?
I was at home. I've moved back home now. But I moved to London 6 months ago.
Okay.
And I loved it. It was this type of all over the place, like just big buildings and cities and like loads of fields and stuff.
Yeah.
I loved it. First time I ever moved out and got independence.
Oh.
And then my rent was as much as I was earning.
Okay.
So I was literally living off like bird food.
Oh,
like
my
I was
God.
Literally, my rent was $640, was making $640. I was like, I have to go back home and reassess my plan.
How?
I literally just jumped on the train and moved out one day.
How old were you?
27.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I think moving to a big city is always like a big step. So it's like you need to manage your money and everything. So
yeah, I literally just used the credit card. I got myself $5,000 in debt on the credit card.
Yeah.
And I just paid it off like really? About a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, never again will I ever use a credit card.
Wow.
It's scary. Like you can spend it so quick and yet it takes forever to pay
back.
Because like imagine you like earn say $1,000 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And then your rent's like $500.
Yeah.
And then your gym membership and your phone membership's like £200, you've got £300 left over.
Yeah.
So if you've got $5,000 in debt, that's like 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24. That's like a whole year to pay for $5,000 debt. And you can't do anything for that time.
Yeah.
It's scary. I mean,
especially in London, it's so it's so expensive.
Yeah, like you can continue talking.
Okay. Yeah, London is like really an expensive city, so you need to always know what you're putting your money into, like.
Oh yeah, like it's so easy just to spend like a load of money on like a bag or something, or because it's just too easy to just like buy something, and then you realize how long it takes to actually pay that back, and you realize that you can't just keep spending.
Or you need to work like 60 hours per week.
Yeah, like
have no days off.
Exactly, like you. Most people like if they work as a waiter.
Yeah.
Then they literally are gonna be working like 50 hours a week just to get enough money to actually enjoy life.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not living.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you come to London, you know it's expensive, but you don't want to be surviving here. You want to be living.
Exactly. You want to enjoy London and the city, and you want to go out and see like performances like Rihanna at the O2, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stuff that you can not really do if you live outside of London, because it takes forever to get into London.
Yeah, no? But I feel like it's a city that you need to go to while you're young to build relationships, to have experience, and it's like, it's something that gets you started off really good for life, I think.
Oh yeah, like it teaches you independence coming to London.
Yeah.
Because you've got to like learn the tube, you've got to navigate the roads, you've got to go shop.
Yeah, so you have no choice.
No, literally, yeah. I used to love, like when I lived there, the best thing about it was all the food.
And London.
There were so many places to like, there's like Jamaican, there's everything.
Oh yeah, but I mean a typical English food, I wouldn't say I like it that much for some reason.
No. Typical like fish and chips and stuff.
Yeah.
Boring, but proper like Asian and like African food.
Okay.
Do you have much of that?
Chinese, yeah, but then African, never tried.
What's your favourite Chinese dish?
The spring rolls.
Spring rolls.
Yeah.
That's so basic. Just like a bit of duck and some, I don't know, cabbage wrapped in like this crispy wonton.
Or no, then how's it called? Sweet and sour chicken. This is
sweet and sour chicken.
Perfect.
Do you know what the sweet and sour is made from?
Oh my god, do I want to know?
Yeah. Go on. Okay. Do you know what it is?
No.
It's pineapple juice and corn syrup, hence why it's thick.
Oh.
And the red colouring makes it red.
Oh, they add some colouring.
Yeah, so it's like pineapple juice.
Yeah.
Red colouring. Swear to god if that thing falls down again. yeah, that's why it tastes so like sweet and sticky.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that's why it's also red.
Do you know how to make that?
I went online. I like to like learn from YouTube and stuff.
Okay.
And I saw this video online about how it was made.
Okay.
And it literally was like heating up pineapple juice, putting the corn sugar in, mixing it, adding some like corn starch.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just really easy. And
oh,
then
that's nice.
Like to make the chicken, and stuff. Well, that's just easy. Like you just put chicken in some batter.
Yeah.
And it's there.
Well, that's cool. I have to try to cook that then.
Yeah, if you go online and look for like how to make
sweet and sour
chicken, then you'll definitely get loads of stuff.
Well, that's nice. Sure.
And it will change your life.
Cool, thank
it's just,
you.
You can make so many. Like, do you ever go on YouTube and watch stuff and how to cook and stuff?
Sorry?
Do you ever go on YouTube and like learn how to cook?
Sometimes, yeah, if I'm looking to find a recipe or something, but I think on Instagram I find more.
Instagram.
I don't know, I just spend more time on pages that are related to what I like or to what I'm looking for.
Do you cook like from scratch?
Most of the time, yeah, definitely. I think I'm specialized in pasta, to be honest. I just love it so much.
Are you about white pasta or brown? Like, do you buy into all that, like, wholemeal stuff?
It's a good question. Brown, I really like brown pasta, actually.
Because it tastes nicer, because it's healthier.
It's healthier, and it tastes the same. I think it tastes the same, so I'm not sure. You've never tried it?
No. My parents have, like, a lot of brown stuff.
Okay.
And I'm like, actually, white's healthier.
Okay.
Because the whole, which is why it's whole grain,
is
actually, do you know what lectins are?
No.
So lectins are just a sugar molecule which stick to our blood and like spike it and increase our like blood sugar levels.
Gluten or
similar to that type of thing, but anyway, lectins are bad for us.
Oh yeah.
And the hole in the grain has the most lectins in. So the reason why French people have like white baguettes and Italians have white pasta and Chinese have white rice is because thousands of years ago they realized this and they took out the hole, hence why it's white bread, white rice and white pasta. Because it was the worst for you, and now everyone's started to eat whole stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's also why a lot of people have disease and everyone's getting ill, because we're just eating the wrong types of food.
So you follow that diet of
So the whole is actually what was the bad part, which was taken out, and now everything's like whole grain because it's good.
Uh-huh.
And that's because it was to do with fiber, but it's not the fiber that's in the whole. There's like two types of fibers.
Yeah.
And it's like this fiber's good for you, whereas this fiber isn't, basically. And because they thought it was just like fiber, then they thought, okay, whole fiber must be good, and so they introduced it, and now everything's like whole grain and whole.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's the wrong type of fiber. like they did studies in like Africa where they looked at all these people's gut diet and like their bowel movements, and they had like loads of specific foods like, I don't know, sweet potato and stuff like that, and their bowel movement was really good.
Yeah.
And they saw that's because it was fiber, and so they looked at like the fiber in grains and was like, oh, whole has fiber in, that must be good. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong type of fiber.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know that.
So basically whole is actually not good for you.
Okay. I mean, I feel like there's so many that everything you eat, there's always going to be a scientific study saying that it's not
something's
good.
Something's good, so. Something's bad. And then like, depending on the person and like their diet and what they had growing up.
Yeah.
Because if you have lots of milk growing up, then you can have lots of milk and cheese.
Yeah, you're used to
but
it.
If the baby hasn't had much cow's milk, then he's probably going to have like a lactose intolerance.
Maybe.
No? Do you agree?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think also everyone's different. And a lot of people are intolerant to many things now, or allergic to anything. I feel like, I don't know if it's a trend or something, but
literally people are following like food trends, and then like because they're not being exposed to like that type of food, they're now like they can't have it. Like I've removed bread from my diet for like 6 months when I moved to London, and I used to just live off bread, and I suddenly had bread, and I had like rashes. Like,
oh,
what's
really?
Like a gluten celiac rash.
Yeah.
Had rash all down here, all on my elbow.
Oh wow.
And because I had basically quite a lot of bread in a week, which I hadn't normally did.
Okay.
And so yeah, if you remove something from your diet and add it back, your body's like, what the fuck is this? Get it out!
Oh wow.
It's like, grr!
Wow, yeah, so it's all about getting used to the food that you eat.
Yeah.
Everything.
Like, if you're used to eating something your body can cope, then when you remove it, your body's like, what is this? I don't know how to remove it, and it like forgets.
Yeah. Oh wow. But yeah, a lot of people follow that trend. Like, oh, I want my child to be vegan, I want my dog to be vegan.
Exactly.
I'm like, man, just
like the parents are like not allowing their kids to have like
choice
peanuts and just like bread because it's gluten in it, and then that kid literally is not gonna be able to eat anything.
Yeah.
Because like everything put everything in.
Yeah.
And growing up when I used to eat food, my mum just fed me like everything. So now I can have peanuts and milk and stuff.
Yeah.
I believe that we're not actually supposed to have pretty much any of these foods that we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So when you remove them, it's your body resetting itself.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, I could always eat bread, but it's when I removed it for a long period of time that my body was like, I feel fantastic. Like, don't put that in my body again.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this? I thought we stopped eating bread. And then, like, get all these rashes and shit.
Well, the good thing is that you can, like, remove all of the bad things, everything that kind of poisons your body. So the day you get that again, your body will let you know that it's not good for you.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Have you got any allergies?
No, but gluten doesn't react good on me. I don't like it so much. But
so you're half French, yeah?
Yeah.
So growing up, you've had like lots of bread and like French loaves and stuff?
Yes, definitely. Cakes and stuff, crepe, whatever, anything. Yeah, I think we have flour everywhere anyway in France.
And did that like affect you anywhere growing up? Like the gluten and like stuff?
Yes, because you can develop IBS.
Yeah.
Which is, well, also you can have this because of stress, which is my case, but it's really hard because you need to know exactly what to eat. There's so much food that you cannot eat.
So talk about the stress thing. What do you mean about the stress thing?
So I mean everyone reacts differently to stress, but sorry, but yeah, in my case he gave me that. He gave me IBS, so it's like really, how can I say, a lot of like stomach pains and stuff.
Oh yeah, I used to fart all the time, and now I rarely ever fart because my diet is so pure. I've removed kind of dairy and bread. I don't literally fart anymore. It's incredible.
Yeah,
I used to enjoy farting so much. It's so funny. Now nothing.
But you eat meat. Yeah.
I don't eat meat as much as I used to. I've like chicken.
Okay.
So like if my mum cooks a dinner,
uh-huh.
It's normally like, to be honest, on a Sunday we have roast dinner, so it's like roast chicken, lamb, beef or whatever. During the week it could be like chicken dish or whatever, chicken Kiev.
Okay.
But actually I don't actually eat that much meat.
Okay. Is it a personal choice then, or have
no,
you
just because she's cooking the food. I'm okay. Not gonna like just like the food, like bring it in, like, I'm not making it, like it's your choice. Sometimes it's like vegetarian and stuff.
Okay.
But don't eat that much meat.
Okay.
I don't have anything against meat. It's just if it's there I'll eat it.
Okay.
And if it's not, I won't. Like,
yeah. All right. So you just got used to that.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, if you don't need it, then you don't need it. You know
no, exactly.
I mean?
Like, I'll occasionally go past McDonald's and get a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
But just like eat when I want to eat.
So you like that kind of food too, like Burger King and McDonald's? And
not so much Burger King, like, there's not actually Burger King like near me anymore.
Okay.
There used to be one, but it's like McDonald's is just like near.
Okay.
What do you prefer, Burger King or McDonald's?
Burgers at Burger King, fries. No, burgers at McDonald's and fries at Burger King.
So I prefer the burger at Burger King.
Okay.
And the fries at Burger King, and they're different to like McDonald's ones.
Yeah. I feel like they're handmade for some reason. Or is it me? I don't know.
Don't know, but yeah, they're like there's like crispy coating on a Burger King one.
Yes.
Whereas McDonald's is just like all just salt.
Okay, so let's just say Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. What's that?
Oh, you don't know Shake Shack?
No, what is it?
Oh, it's like the best burger place with the best fries with cheese on top.
Is it in England?
Yeah, here. It's Shake so Shack. Famous. Shake Shack.
What's it called? What food is it? Chips?
Like burger and chips and stuff. Yeah, definitely is that.
Where's the nearest one that you've gone to?
Tottenham Court Road, I think.
Tottenham Court Road?
Yeah. It's really good. They have the best burgers ever.
Have you heard of Five Guys?
I think so, yeah, once. I think I didn't like it that much.
Oh, Five Guys are amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I know, because I had the ice cream.
The ice cream?
Yeah.
Oh, from Five Guys?
They do ice cream.
Do they?
Yeah.
The chips are amazing. They are hand cut. Like the chips, you see like the big bag of potatoes outside.
Yeah.
And they actually cut them. Oh. Like there and there. So those chips are literally handmade.
Oh, wow.
And they're proper like handmade chips.
Yeah. Oh, that's
cool. And they're cooked in peanut oil. Most chips are cooked in like olive oil or some like rapeseed oil.
What? There's so many allergies of peanuts and they do it, they cook it in peanut oil.
Yeah, like obviously people can't, if you don't like.
Yeah, they don't have
tough,
to.
Like not can't cater for the whole bloody world. Like these days, all companies are like trying to cater for every single person.
Yeah.
Every food type, every clove type. It's like, you can't keep creating because somebody says this or they want that. You need to have like a solid like brand. Yeah. You can't just put anything on the menu and then like some colorblind person comes in and you've got a black and white menu and some blind man comes in. So you've got like a menu for the blind and a menu for the deaf and then a fat person, extra like large. You can't just do that. Like,
I know.
Life's going crazy. Like you can't just, somebody says, I want this and then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because everyone is so unique, it's hard to, you know, adapt to everyone in the world. But so that's why it's important to have more general things.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, I understand. It's like, it's hard not to offend anyone.
Exactly. It's like loads of Europeans are coming over to England. Oh, so we need like a European menu. So you add another menu. Then you've got to teach the chefs how to cook these different European dishes. And then there's some Chinese people come over and you have to have a noodle dish. It's like, just like stick to the simple menu of like five dishes, like fish and chip, beef burger, scampi.
Yeah.
People will eat that. Like, you're going to have all this other crap.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't like it or they can't eat it, tough.
Yeah.
Like, tough. Plenty of other restaurants. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, people are coming to taste our food, not to feel like home. I mean, it's useless to go to the other side of the world to feel like home.
Yeah. If I go to, like, China, like Singapore, for example, the food markets are incredible.
Yeah.
They had, like, all these amazing types of food.
Okay.
I'm not going to be like, why haven't you got fish and chips on the menu?
Yeah.
What? Why? Like, clearly there's a Brits here. Like, go, rah, rah. Like I enjoy their food. Like, once I used to work at Nando's and someone came in.
Okay.
Nando's, you know Nando's?
Yeah.
It's chili, hot chicken, hot spice. Some mother and daughter or mother and their child came in and she says, I think it's ridiculous how you've all your chicken's chili on it. You've not got any like plain chicken. It's like, no, we're not a plain chicken restaurant. We're a chicken restaurant that specializes in chili. Oh, you should have a kids menu for plain chicken. If you don't like it, fuck off the KFC. There's plenty of chicken over there that's plain.
Oh, I hate when people make scandals.
And they're like, they're standing and like having an argument, like trying to make their point as if somehow, miraculously, there's going to be some plain chicken that comes out of the freezer. Oh, special occasion for you, madam. No. It's like,
it's
just the way it is. Everyone's like moaning about.
People are so rude, and I feel like it's so important to be elegant in any situation all the time. I think elegance just changes everything. Elegance means being professional, means having a good image of yourself. So I hate when people are rude like that.
So you know the law of attraction, right?
Yeah.
So you believe like elegance and being positive is like the same thing, and it gets you further.
Well, you can be elegant and like, how can I say, and be a bad, being a bad person, like, you can fake elegance, that's what I mean, just to attract people and have bad intentions, but you can be a genuine, elegant person this is pure elegance.
Do you believe that you can read through someone who's been who's acting elegant but actually is a twat, basically? Do you reckon you can read through that?
I mean, if you pay attention, if you kind of feel the energy of the person, if you can read the body language and everything, I think you can definitely guess that the person's faking that. Yeah, what do you think?
I agree, yeah, I believe that. Someone's true intentions always shine through.
Yes.
Like you get like an off feeling with someone.
Yeah.
Like what they're saying doesn't match their thoughts.
Yes.
As if at any minute, if they don't get their plane ticket, they're going to snap. Yeah. Like that was fake elegance. Like they were just being all like, "Oh, my daughter's really hungry. Like, you got any plain chicken? I'm really sorry. It's a chicken restaurant that's chili on it." You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but yeah, someone who's purely elegant will be like, "Oh, no problem. Do you know any other places nearby? Oh yes, KFC." You know what I mean?
Yeah. I heard that if you are working and you face rude people, you need to just tell them you have something stuck between their teeth, so they'll be so embarrassed and
really?
Stop being rude.
Really?
Yeah.
What, so you'd be like, "Oh, madam, sorry, you just got some like..."
Yeah, and then they stop shouting at you.
Really? They'll feel like an idiot and they'll walk out.
Yeah.
That is great.
I heard this, I'm not sure.
It's like a compliment, but actually it's psychology of get the fuck out of this restaurant.
Wow. Maybe.
And then they get their phone and they're like, "What bastard, he's got nothing in my teeth." Like, "Fuck. Sorry, we're locked, we're closed. Let me in."
Yeah, I have to try that and see. But yeah, definitely, the law of attraction is all about your mindset, you know?
When did you first come across it?
I think when I read The Secret, the book that we were talking about the other day.
How old?
Sorry?
How old when you read The Secret?
I think 15.
15?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, like... When I became across it, I listened to the audio version when I was 21.
Okay.
But 15, if I'd known about it when I was 15,
yeah,
I would be bloody king right now. Like, most people don't come across it, especially like back then.
Yeah.
Like, online wasn't as big as it was. Mm-hmm. So how did you come across it? Like in a library or something?
No, my mom read it and then she said, "Oh, you should read it too. I think it would be really good for you." I trusted her and I read it and I think I felt slightly different after I read it. And I feel like... every time you watch a film or a book, if you feel different after it, if you feel better as a person, then it means that it was a good job, like it was a good one.
So your mum believes in like secret law of attraction and stuff?
She's really into that, so I think, I mean, I'm really into that too. I think maybe a bit more than her.
You're into like crystals and like...
Crystals, that's more my thing, I'd say.
Yeah, you're into that.
Yeah, I'm really into that. Actually bought bracelets and stuff. So I think each crystal is really, let's say, personalized to you. Like, I don't know, depending on the problems that you had in life or what you need, if you need protection, whatever, or self-confidence, whatever you need, there's a crystal for you.
So I used to have like a dowser. You know those little things you swing?
Yeah, okay.
So I used to believe that. I used to bring it with me everywhere. So it would be like, "Shall I go out tonight?" Yes, and I go out. Should I get McDonald's? If my gut was saying no, it'll be a no. I realise that it's my own energy going through my arm into the thing
yeah,
to move
really
it.
Yeah, if you really want to, it'd be...
Because I like, hung it on my my ceiling, on the light, and it didn't move. Like, so it tells me that it's actually us making that movement based on what we think the outcome should be. Because I was staring at that thing wasn't moving.
Yeah, it's like when you have cars and you try to guess what number or what colour is going to be. You can't, because it's you holding the card. So somebody else needs to hold the card for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get too influenced by your own energy.
Exactly.
So I feel you, yeah.
Observing a particle, like quantum physics, right?
Uh-huh.
What you just said, you know much about that?
More or less, depending on...
So you know how you just said that you get influenced by your own energy?
Yes.
So the outcome of like... So the quantum physics, like the double slit experiment, whatever... If you're expecting that thing to go there, like you shoot a particle, expecting it to go like where it goes. If I'm throwing a ball at the wall, I expect it to go there.
Yeah.
But then when like you look at the ball,
yeah,
the ball like just splits into like loads of mini like ping pong balls and it goes everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And then when I stop looking at it, it goes back to where I initially wanted it to be. So you just said about how when you observe something, like your own energy can interfere with the outcome.
Yeah. So yeah, that the results that you're going to see maybe you will see it the way you want to see it.
Yeah, exactly. Like it changes based on your perception of what you want. Like,
yes.
If I'm looking for the fact I've got a gluten tolerance,
yeah,
I'll be like, every time I eat bread, waiting for that big fart or something. Like,
so definitely, it's like when you want to feel sick, and you can make yourself sick just by the way you think.
Absolutely.
So that's crazy. You're like, oh my god, I'm sick. In the end, you're really sick. Your body thinks you're sick because
exactly.
You think you're sick.
And then before you know it, you're booking off work, you know, because you're sick, but you created that in your own head.
Yes.
Or because you can, like, if I eat chicken and I don't think it's cooked, I literally make myself sick to tell myself that that wasn't cooked and I'm a twat for eating it.
Yeah.
If I just eat it and go about my day, I forget I even was looking at that stupid bit of chicken.
I know.
I mean.
But also, like, when you meet someone and you know they have qualities and they have so many things that are not so good, you know? So you just... If you want the person to be a certain way, you're going to be like, oh, he's so good, he's so nice.
Exactly.
But actually, he's not nice. He's just so innocent or naive. But you don't want to believe that. So you're making that person have a personality that you are deciding.
So one of the things recently, right now, that I'm becoming more and more aware of is that we literally see what we want to see. There's literally two dimensions to everything we see. Like, you can see that way or that way.
Oh, the objective
It's not just
one,
like
yes.
one way.
Yeah.
Because you can see the same thing in two different ways or lots of different ways to me. And so based on like what I am hoping the outcome will be, it changes the outcome.
Okay.
Like, it's really incredible. Like, we see what we want to see in life.
So are you saying that every perception is subjective and objective?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not just one or the other. Like, if I'm in a room full of brown and there's loads of red as well, if I'm just focusing on the brown, I won't see the red.
Yeah.
And if I'm focusing on the red and you say, how much brown was there? I'll be like, oh, well, I don't know. There wasn't any, but there's brown. It's like people can see colours in their head. Like, you
yes.
see purple and I see green or whatever. It's not just like that is blue and that's it. It's just like subjective and objective, like whatever you want to see.
So doesn't it makes you like change, like think a lot, knowing that everyone sees things differently, so nobody will ever know how it looks like from an outside thing, let's say, out of your body?
Essentially, everything that is outside was created by one person's vision. So one person came up with the idea of this.
Yes.
But that was him and his brain in terms of what he sees in his, which is different to what you see in here. I could see the colour blue and you could see it as gold.
Yeah.
But if you created this before the other person did, this might have been a different thing because that was his vision. And if you created it, your vision will be different.
Oh, it's like the dress, the golden.
Yeah, exactly that dress. And like Laurel. Remember
yes.
the sound thing? What was the other word? Laurel and what?
Yenny.
Laurel.
Yes.
Yenny. It's exactly the same thing, the dress. They see gold, you see blue. It's like, well, how can you say that's gold, that's blue? Which tells me that half the world see... Well, people just see things different.
Yes.
It's not just this or that. Everyone is literally built completely different. Even though we're human, got four legs, and we like watch TV... Our brains are different, like,
yes.
To think somebody could have been colourblind their whole life, but they're not actually colourblind, it's just that that was what all they always saw. Like,
uh-huh.
Imagine being taught this is blue at school,
yes.
And actually you see colour red, but to you that's not red, that's just, but what version of blue is, you know what I mean?
So
that's quite
amazing.
I mean,
it's like, well, okay, so if you were born colourblind, are you really disabled? Because you're disabled compared to other people.
Exactly, that's the point, so. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Because compared to the norm, who think that's blue, yes, disabled to differentiate colour.
Yeah.
But that's not disabled. Like, if you go around the whole world, every human being, there's 8 billion of us.
Yeah.
So just because everyone in England sees that as blue, you go to like someone in the jungle, like some tribesman, he doesn't even know what a colour is. It's like, what
yeah.
does he see? So no, not disabled. Maybe to like the majority, but no, absolutely
yeah.
not.
That's, you know... Yeah, same. If you're born with one leg, you wouldn't be disabled if everyone had one leg as well.
And exactly.
It's
like yeah, like...
Crazy how we decide that other people are disabled just because they have something less than you, but maybe you have something less than them.
Exactly. Like, someone who's really, really smart, who can, like, do, like, maths really quick, is, like, really smart compared to people who can't.
Yes.
So are these people disabled, the ones who can't do maths quickly,
yeah.
compared to him? Well, he might think yes, because he's able to do that.
Yes.
And these people are disabled to do the math stuff quick.
Yeah.
But then he's got one leg, and you've got two legs, so you're disabled to walk. So there's like no real concept of
disability
because it doesn't. If you compare, yes, able, disabled, dis-ease, at ease, you know, left, right, black and white, whatever. But no, you need a comparison in order to say someone's disabled to do something because it means that they have to be able or someone else is able. But that just simply doesn't exist.
So, because you know, it's interesting. One day I told myself, what is a comparison for, really? What is it for?
To comparize
something.
Compromise.
No, comparate.
Spell it.
No, like comparison.
Nope, try again, I don't know.
Comparison of something, when you compare.
Oh, comparison.
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 I was looking for it, sorry.
Maybe it's comparation. So comparison, yeah. So in order for like, you know, like negative, positive.
Yes.
How do you know someone's negative? You need to know somebody positive.
You need
both.
But why would you want to know the person's negative or positive? Why would you want to know someone's tall or small? Why?
No, I'm sorry, you need a comparison. So you need something of, like, if to say that person's small, you need to see tall people. To say that that person is smelly, you need to be able to smell somebody who's not smelly. Like, to know that person's negative, you need to be around positive people. So that's the comparison. You need, like that person with one leg needs to see people with two legs in order for it to be a comparison.
Yes, but same. If you compare me to someone who's tall, I'll be small. If you compare me to someone who's smaller than me, I'll be tall. So every time you compare is so relative. It's never...
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, it's relative to... Yeah, exactly. So it's all circumstantial.
Yes.
That's another powerful thing I keep using at the moment. Circumstantial.
Okay.
It's not just that. It's not just like that. It's circumstantial.
Okay.
It's like... Depending on what's there, who's there, changes the outcome.
Yes,
of what you're searching for.
No, that's true. So what I mean is, what's the point of saying, let's say if you compare me to someone who's tall, what's the point of saying that I'm small, for example?
The point is that there's no such thing as small or tall. It's just, it just is what it is.
So basically it would be useless to describe people, or...
Exactly. Yeah, like in order, like... That person's male, based, okay, so penis, that person's female, vagina, okay, that's, you know, you need a comparison, like, but really, if you didn't have that comparison and you were around men all the time,
yes,
you wouldn't know, like, that vagina wouldn't exist. That's just going to be what it is. Same if you're around a load of pigeons with, like, two wings, then that's normal, but then another pigeon comes along with, like, another bird comes along with, like, four wings or like four legs.
Yeah.
Now that's a comparison. Like, that's a weird pigeon. Well, no, if you go to that country it came from, they've all got like four legs.
Yeah.
So now you're the weird pigeon.
Yeah. Okay, so comparing everything helps you to like be more precise,
yeah,
and know who you're talking about or what you're talking about.
It's almost so. Like we've come from small different tribes.
Yes.
Everyone's come from a small tribe. Like people in different countries. People from the countryside as opposed to the city. These are like groups of people. They're used to seeing this type of way of lifestyle. But if you go there, that's different to there. And if they come here, there's no... This thing about circumstantial means that you're out... What you're thinking is based on what you already know.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. That's nice.
Imagine a Chinese person gets adopted. No, hang on. An English person gets adopted to a Chinese family.
Uh-huh.
The person goes over there and is exposed to like... all these different types of oils and foods and fats and cultures and stuff. He comes to England and he can't have stuff like fish and chips because he's just, that's all he's ever known is all those high, these different types of food in China.
Yes.
But then he came from this family, so how come all of his friends and family can eat this, but he can't? Again, it's because of what he was exposed to out there, circumstantial.
Yes.
So
are you saying that, like, if you get used to something your whole life, you wouldn't bear being faced with something you've never seen before?
One more time.
Are you saying that, like, if you get used to something your whole life, you couldn't stand facing something you've never seen before?
Yes, you know? So basically, like, imagine you're like a wild deer on alert for like a lion, right? No, for example, like, birds are flying around, they're scouting the area for like bread or a mouse to find food, and then they come down and swoop.
Yeah.
I notice if I just put a piece of bread on the grass in my garden, that bird somehow knows that that wasn't there a few minutes ago when it was flying. So it knows that the surroundings have changed.
Yeah.
There's now a white bit of bread on the garden. So options are, is it food? Is it, what is it? So it will go down and take the bread. It knows that that surroundings has changed.
Okay.
So to your question, which was?
could you stand something that you have never got used to before? Like?
So if you're used to seeing things a certain way and all of a sudden it changes, then it's gonna like affect the brain. Like it suddenly gets confused. Like there's a bit of bread there. Like that means there's a human that's put it there. Maybe he's trying to get me. Or if a wild deer is scared he's going to be attacked by like a lion, he's going to be on high alert for like things moving or things that aren't in place, like maybe something's changed, because which tells the wild deer that no, it tells them that okay, something's happened, like there's a lion there because that hole wasn't there, or there's a footprint and it's like shit, that wasn't there before.
Yes.
No. Yeah, so circumstantial meaning we are used to what we're seeing. Yes. Familiar.
So what I mean is that if you're being lied to your whole life, the day you find out the truth, I mean, is it good for you to find out the truth, or is it going to change your life forever?
If you take that opportunity as a way to grow as a person and to better your life in general, once you like hear that truth that maybe is really horrible for you, if you change your life completely, then you'll go into like a new frequency, like a new vibration of like feeling and happiness. Whereas if you hear that and you just stay in that negative pattern and hate the world and oh, he's a cunt, oh, I don't know, then it's just gonna make you more toxic, more negative. You're gonna wanna take people down more. Whereas if you take that as an opportunity to change completely and get truth from everyone and everything and like forgive yourself and forgive people, then it is a great time to...
Oh yeah. But I mean, for example, in the Vatican, you know, they yes. have a library.
Italy?
Yes. I mean, yeah. So they have a library with a private part where nobody has access, you know, with some books that we are not allowed to read.
Really?
And I've always been fascinated to know what was inside. And I found out somehow that there were some secrets about religions and the story of religions and things that we humans are never supposed to know about. Like, that if we found out the truth, it would literally change our lives so much.
Literally, it's like the secret. Like, if everyone knew the secret, then yes. Everyone would be free.
Well, free, or I don't know if they will be able to, let's say, survive, to stand the truth, because it's just so huge.
Literally.
To find out that you've been lied to your whole life. So what my question was, sometimes when the truth is just so huge, is it just better not to know it?
Again, yeah, if it's like, would you rather not know your dad isn't your dad if you still love him regardless?
Yes.
I'd rather not know. But for example, if I was in an unhappy state of mind and I found out my dad wasn't my dad and I went to find my real dad in another country and it was like with amazing people, amazing nature, by the beach, lots of love, more family I didn't even know I had, yeah. Then that's a positive that's come from not knowing. So now I've got all these new amazing people in my life, which is actually a good thing, even though finding out it wasn't my dad was kind of a bad. So again, every negative, it's okay to embrace it as long as you get more positives. But if you just like balance it up, one negative, and you stay there, I'd rather not know.
I mean, you cannot know the truth before. As you said, you cannot know it before. How could you know you would have had such a good family and
exactly,
everything?
Exactly, like everything, we are made up of like the past, yes. The situations and circumstances and actions, whatever. And you don't know how it would have been if things were different.
Yes, definitely. All right, that's good. So that's how you, let's say, see life in the way that you, since you don't know, you always let the future come to you, being
yeah.
very open.
Like, I am always present.
Okay.
As in, I'm always aware of what is around now, knowing that at some point this will be the past,
yes.
When I'm in the future, which is the present.
Yes.
Which means that the actions now, when you look back, are going to be the past. And if the past created you, then right now, it's going to impact me at some point in the future, which is also the now.
So do you believe in present? Do you think it really exists?
Oh yeah, so like time, it's a man-made thing. The sun just, the earth spins, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. That's just the same cycle. Past, present, future, that's just man's way of saying something that happened a few days ago versus something that happened, that's something that's going to happen in the future.
Yes.
They're just names to define another cycle of the sun.
Well, you see, I feel like there's no present just because everything that's happening is already gone. By the time I finish speaking, it's in the past already.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So really, that's the concept of man. Like, present is not thinking about... imagine days. You got today's Wednesday, that's present. Past is Monday, and the future's Friday. Again, as you're saying, the present's gone after this word. But when you look at it in bigger picture, future's Friday, Wednesday's now.
Yes.
Then it is present, but really it isn't. It's just animals just... we're just animals migrating and moving and going off to find food, finding a mate, finding water.
So for present, if you want present to really exist, you need to take a bigger amount of time, let's say, to say, okay, this is present, today is present, you know? Because if you're talking in seconds, then each second is already going.
Yeah, then
going,
it's not present.
So.
But if you take like the bigger picture of like, a present is within a minute, then yeah, this is present until like the minute runs out. Really, everything is just like man-made.
It's so scary to, I mean, time is just so scary. It's like a star. They're so far from us that maybe it's dead already, but you can still see it until the light gets to you.
Oh yeah, like when you see a shooting star, that died out, like it could have been years ago.
Yeah.
It just suddenly, you can now see it, or it was just burning slowly. Like, it's just a rock that's sort of just floating and burning out, so there's no reason why it has to go like really quick.
Yeah,
like it could have like just been there for ages.
Yeah, I mean, just in the universe, I think there is a time, I'm not sure, but I think there's time going on like through the whole universe. Like I couldn't know how to explain it, but it's like I'm not sure if at the end of the universe you come back to the beginning, you know what I mean? Because it's so big, and I'm not sure if it goes in a circle or the shape of the universe.
So it's like, take away time and like anything and just look at it like the sun is just a big ball of fire, and it spat out some molten lava which cooled and became a rock, and it started to float, and then eventually it just became earth. And then life grew on it. Eventually, when we get too far away from the sun, it will all freeze, it will all die off, or we might get too hot, and then we'll all die off. And eventually, this will just suddenly just become dust. It will just like just fall down, go back to dust, and you're just left with a rock.
So.
And then if the circumstances change in the future where it's not too cold, not too hot, life will begin again. So this thing about, do you get to the end and come back? Not literally, where you like keep driving and then you end up like come back around, but in terms of like how everything evolved in the first place, yeah, of course, if it could die, then it could be reborn.
Yes, but so do you think that one day science will be so advanced that we will be able to go back in time?
Again, if you think of time as a man-made thing, you're saying that you can change the outcome of what you did in the past, so it means that I could come back and change this. That's not possible.
So how can you say that time is a man-made thing if time was there before men arrived?
So time is a clock. Yeah, time is a clock. The clock symbolizes when the sun is going to be rising versus when the sun's going to be setting.
Yes.
So it's just like an average time of, okay, if this clock says 3, I know there's going to be no light in, say, 6 hours' time. So that's man-made. You go back further, but it's apes in a jungle, eating a banana, getting up when the sun comes out, hunting, and then when the sun goes down, because we can't see shit anymore, go to sleep.
But I mean, so what I don't get is that you say that time is a man-made thing, but before we arrived, trees were, you know, dying and growing, and there were animals and insects, and time was... you know, the clouds were moving and
okay, so if you look at like the clock time, then that's like man-made. But if you look at understanding what time is that things happen over...
oh, yeah.
Things happen over... things evolve. I suppose the word is evolve, evolution.
Uh-huh.
Evolution is time.
Yes.
As in trees grow, trees die, animals grow, animals die. But the clock itself is man-made.
Okay.
It's like that time is reading. Man-made.
Okay, you're talking about reading the time. And
yes, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
But over time,
yes,
it's called evolution.
But then it's like the calendar. We made it so we could know where we are in time, but a year could have been 3 days, who
exactly.
says, and 1 hour.
In terms of the universe, this cycle is just the same. It's the sun, the moon, the sun, the moon, the sun, the moon. Whether it was a billion years ago, last Christmas, 4 Christmases ago,
uh-huh.
our grandparents' day, it's still the sun, sunset, sunrise, sunset. So that calendar simply just doesn't exist. It just comes together as one.
So what would have happened if we didn't invent the clock and the calendar and the years and the days?
We would just get up and trade and hunt until the sun goes, because we can't
yeah.
see.
I feel like everything would have been just so different.
And it would be, everything would be present. So there'd be none of this stuff like, I'm going to see you on next Wednesday. It would just be...
See you Wednesday.
It would be Wednesday, but that wouldn't exist Wednesday. It would just be, if you're there, I'd set up the tripod.
Yeah.
Because you'll be there. That would be present. So there'll be no booking up like next Thursday. But then like you probably wouldn't have even been there.
It's funny how, for example, animals and humans are both able to communicate between each other. However, we have the ability to talk about time, to talk about tomorrow and yesterday, and animals cannot do that.
I have actually thought about that.
You
like,
know?
What does my dog think? Like, he's just getting up when we get up, going for a walk, eating his food, having fun, going to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, to us, he'll die when he's like 15, but to him, it was just... getting up, going for a walk, getting fed.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist to him. It's a her, but yeah.
Yeah, in the way that, let's say they can like tell another animal that there's a danger somewhere, but they can only talk about what's happening at the moment, right now.
Yeah, like they don't know that tomorrow to them doesn't exist.
Yes.
It's just, it won't be like, oh, if I see you tomorrow on my walk, I'll sniff your ass, because they sniff each other's ass, you know what I mean? Or, oh, if I see you on my walk, then we'll get a bone together. It's just like, oh, I recognise you, I smelt you the other day. and then they make the most of that moment. But is he thinking,
yeah.
What if I see him next week? No, because he doesn't know what next week is. It's just, I recognise you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people say that animals are less intelligent than humans. Which
less.
Which I totally don't agree with. I just think that they don't need our intelligence.
Yeah, so intelligence is a different form. Like, you've got survival intelligence, you've got textbook intelligence, you've got...
Yes.
So yeah, their intelligence of like instinct and danger
that
and
we
love
don't
and
have.
Nurture and understanding when we're upset.
Yes.
Far more intelligent than a human. A human doesn't even know like when the wife's upset, for example. Like, you just, some, it's what's right? It's like, something wrong? No, I'm fine. Oh, she's fine. Does she look fine to you? Like, people can't see that body language. Like, your wife's clearly upset.
Yeah.
As a dog, we'll just be like,
I'm
just pawing you. But yeah, and there's textbook intelligence where the dog's never going to read a book ever.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what quantum physics is. And
no, but that's what I'm saying. The people that say that they're less intelligent than us say that, oh yeah, but animals cannot build buildings, they cannot understand maths and stuff. I'm like, well, they don't need it. They live in nature. They don't need to understand maths. They don't need all of that, you know?
Again, that's the same as circumstantial. Like politics. You need one in order for there to be the other. It's like intelligent or not intelligent. You just say, what's intelligence in the first place? That person's disabled with one leg. Well, if I go to another country with kangaroos, for example, they've all got one leg. So you need like, it is everything circumstantial.
Yeah.
Nothing is just one. Nothing is what it is.
Yeah.
Everything is multiple.
It's like the Einstein's quote that says that everyone's intelligent, but if you make a fish believe, no, if you ask a fish to climb a tree, he will spend his whole life thinking he's stupid. It's the same thing. I mean, if we create our own things, we'll be good at it because we created all of this ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So it's circumstantial to man and what man has already created.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take it all away. There is just nothing.
Yeah. That's right.
Grass, trees, ocean.
Yeah.
That's it.
So do you feel this connection with animals?
Oh yeah. I love animals.
Yeah.
I literally want a farm with animals.
Really?
Sheep, cows, alpacas, horses, ducks.
To eat them?
No, not to eat them. They'll be my friend. I mean, I might eat them eventually, but we'll eat the eggs from the chickens, but just a place where I can wake up in the morning and all these animals are waiting for me to like feed them.
Yes.
Amazing. Just go and feed them and they're like, they show such love.
Yeah. What I like about animals that I don't feel that about humans is that they don't have the ability to judge you. So to look at you and be like, oh my God, you look awful today, or oh, I don't like how you're dressed, or whatever.
They just see you as, oh, hello, you're a living thing like me.
Yeah.
Tickle my chin. It's true.
Yeah.
But they don't know whether someone's fat, ugly, makeup, no makeup, Italian, Portuguese. You just see it as, hello.
Yeah.
Got some food? If not, piss off, you know?
I know. I think they're so smart because, for example, they can feel things that most humans cannot feel. They know when it's going to rain. They can feel the earthquake coming. They can feel when you're sad. They feel everything.
You know, do you know what a binaural beat is?
No.
Binaural beats. So like... So everything in nature vibrates at, say, 528 hertz, right?
Okay.
Animals will vibrate at 528 hertz because they're in nature.
Okay.
And if everything is in harmony already, animals can think when it's going to rain or become aware when it's going to rain, as you said. Humans, because we're in an office full of negative people all the time, we're just unhappy, so our energies are low, our vibrations are low. We're stressed, we're watching TV. Our energies are low, so we're not vibrating at, say, what nature is. So we're unable to tune into, like, whether it's going to rain or not, because our energies are low. Make sense?
So, okay. So you think that if we were born and we grew up with animals, we would behave differently?
Yeah, absolutely. If we were... Like, people say, if you study animals, you understand humans.
Yes.
So yeah, if we grew up with animals, we'd have more compassion, we'd have more empathy, we'd be able to love easier, we'd have to eat all the time.
Yeah.
All the stuff that man struggles to do now, it's because we don't have enough of the nature and the animal stuff.
Uh-huh. Wow.
We're just too around humans all the time, driving each other crazy. And look at an animal, it just wants you to love him, like just tickle him.
Yeah.
Like, how happy is your dog when you just tickle its chest and you feed him? He doesn't need anything else.
So it would change maybe your personality. I mean, do you think your personality is really true to yourself, like to your mind and to how you were born? Or is it just influenced by your culture, about what your parents taught, your education and
Absolutely.
Everything?
Absolutely. Personality is influenced by thoughts and environment. So the environment and thoughts, which are made up of the environment, so people, what you see. So if you're around with animals all the time in nature, you'll have a great appreciation for nature.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're around people trying to attack you all the time, then you're going to become like resentful to people, and that'll make up your thoughts, which makes up personality.
Yeah.
Like persona, personality is the person based on like what you're exposed to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's the true, deep, real personality that comes from like your soul and your real energy, and then that there's the extra personality that was built with I don't know, your culture and everything. So like, for example, if you grew up in a family of musicians and you don't like music, you maybe you've tried but you still don't like it, I feel like this is your real personality, because maybe if they try to get you to like it, you never did. Know what I mean?
Yeah, so based on that, do you believe that if you're exposed to something early enough,
uh-huh.
that will make your personality? Or that means personality, the factors are uncontrollable. Like if you're with a family who've always had music and like noodles and stuff, technically you should always be able to have noodles, and then if you move to France you can eat bread. But you're saying that noodles will always be like the foundation of your personality. But if, for example, your parents have taught you music from an early age and you just don't want to do music, that means that it's nothing to do with like your environment of thoughts, and
yeah.
It's to do with something like unknown.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as I'm growing up and I'm becoming an adult, I learn that is really, that becoming an adult is, there's something that you need to do, is like taking the time to be as objective as possible, to remove all of the extra, to unlearn all of the extra things that people taught you or life taught you that are not really true to you. It could be political advice or just advice about anything, or education, how you behave, things that are not true to you, you know what I mean? To unlearn all of those bad things that you are not you, really.
When I suddenly learned The Secret,
Yeah.
It basically was saying that what you've learnt growing up was there. You didn't have a control over that.
Uh-huh.
You just absorbed it. What your parents said, what your family member said, what the doctor said. You just listen. Like when you're that age, you listen to what your parents say. So the doctor says this, the parent says that, the teacher says that. You just listen. And that makes up who you are.
Yeah.
But that's just what they said. So yeah, I had to go back and undo everything. But that was nonsense what the doctor said about how disease exists, and teacher says you should get a job 9 to 5, and your parents say don't eat that because it's been on the floor. It's like, well, we came from the bloody jungle, like,
yeah,
it's not gonna harm me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're made up of all this bullshit that people taught us. You just have to undo it, and that's basically why. So that makes up who we are.
Yeah.
And then when you like remove all that, you free yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you can truly find who you are, which is like where you came from, like the foundation of family and stuff. Remove all that nonsense you've taught, and that's when your energy like increases.
Okay. So what is for you being an adult? How do you know you have become officially an adult? Do you feel like an adult yourself?
So I'm basically a child, right? I'm very intelligent. Of course I'm an adult, but I believe that we never truly become an adult, nor are we a child. We are dependent until we are independent. So we it's all circumstantial. If you're a 50-year-old man and you've got a child, you're gonna be like on your hands and knees, hello, what's that? It's a Lego piece. Yeah, brum brum brum. You become that child that he was. Right, he's an adult, he's a businessman, he runs a company, but he's now speaking to that child like he is a child.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be an adult. I believe that we change our personalities based on circumstances. So if you've got to be professional in a business room, you'll be professional. But if you've got kids, then you could be immature and laugh about farting and stuff.
Yeah.
Just like when you're a child. So the child is in everyone. It's just whether we choose to show that side of it. So if you work in a creche, for example, then you can always be that child.
Okay.
And you might not be able to be mature with adults.
Yeah.
But if you're a CEO person, you lose your childness in you because you're all serious all the time.
And okay.
You're just all like that serious. But really, that child is in all of us. It's
yeah.
just we choose when to show it.
Okay, so you think everyone has an inner child then?
Like we never lose that. Like, it's not that we have it. We were that child
okay.
of immaturity until our parents said not to do it. And then we learn as you get older in the real adult world, in offices and business meetings, in restaurants, you can't do that, what you did.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that you can't choose to do it. Or if you were at home, your children flicked food at you, and you can flick it back and have a food fight, you become a child again. We are just that person. It's just circumstances dictate whether you should be like this or not. So am I an adult? I can choose to be an adult, but I prefer just being a child, having fun, not caring.
Yeah. So for you, we all become adults because we are forced to, or because we are willing
to? We suit the narrative of society.
Yes.
So you have to grow up. Grow up, will you? Grow up. Like, okay, so what's growing up? Not acting like that. Okay, so you need a comparison to say why that's immature and childlike as opposed to adult.
Yeah.
So you need the comparison, okay? So when you're a child, you do this, you flick food. You're an adult, don't flick food. But again, that's about the circumstances. You need a comparison.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I feel like there's child and child, and there's adults and adults in the way that, or teenager and teenager, in the way that each part of life has their good things and bad things. I don't know if it makes sense. So
yeah.
Like if you're a child, it might be immature, but you have like so much curiosity. You're so innocent. You're not scared of anything. So you know what I mean? There's child and child.
Yeah, yeah. So some people might not become an adult. So they might not mature enough to be adult-like.
Yeah.
So yeah. Some people can mature more, some people might not.
Okay.
But whether they mature or not,
yeah.
that child is still in them.
Okay.
They can just choose to like bring it out.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. And I feel there are so many kids that are, how can I say, advanced? Not advanced, but like super mature, super early. What do you think it means, and where does it come from?
I think a lot of the time it's to do with parents. If you've got like strong, independent parents, who teach your child at a young age to be strong and independent compared to dependent people and dependent children in the classroom, then that person's going to be more independent than the other children who are dependent.
And do you think it's a good thing for a child to be independent at such an early age?
The thing in life, every animal, its job is to teach its offspring to be independent. Every bird feeds the worm to the chick until the chick can survive. Yeah. Jungle men, they're literally hunting for food, for fish when they're like 2-3 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I can't hunt for fish until I'm 15. That's because society says that this is the age where you start to cook your own food.
Yeah.
But in jungle days, these children are hunting for fish at like 2-3 years old. They're getting honey out of the bee's nest. So that's 2 years old.
Yeah.
So if the aim is to be independent in life, everyone who's like maturing at an early age, it's not a bad thing. It's just comparing to like society, they're just really advanced. But in terms of life, life is about being independent. It's not about depending on the government and mortgages and banks and people. It is about independence.
So, but I mean that you don't really enjoy your childhood if you're so, you know, worried about being independent.
That I agree.
Yeah?
But then, like, what is childhood? Again, you need to see, you, in order to know this is childhood or not, or I didn't have a childhood, you need to be taught that doing this is part of your childhood. It's like, you need to, you can't long for something. You can't long for a father if you've never had a father in your life. It's just, your mother was just both, like she was making the dinner, she's picking you up from school, so you don't know what it's like to have a father. You don't know what it's like to miss a father if you never had one. That child doesn't know what childhood is unless it sees people, children playing.
So okay, so you cannot miss something that you've never had, are you saying that?
Yeah, you can't miss it if you've never had it. So yeah, if he's told that's childhood, playing around whatever, and he's mature reading books and like in his bedroom at home, then he might long for that like childhood stuff. So yeah, that could cause issues, the fact that he didn't have what's called a childhood because he matured earlier. I agree, that would cause issues.
Wow.
But in terms of the bigger perspective, you get past that and you're the one who has a more sufficient life of independence. These people are weak, dependent on everyone. They get ill depending on the doctor, schools, banks, mortgages, people. And they're weak, they have a shitty life. As this person, he might have not had this like childhood compared to other kids, but he's often like got a good job, good money, good house, he can travel when he wants, he's strong, he's independent, he's healthy.
Okay.
So you, it's like you sacrifice one and gain the other.
Okay.
But not because you chose to, it's just, that's just the way it is.
All right, and did that happen to you in the way, did you think you matured super early?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I've always like, had my own perception of the world and what's right, why should I or should not be doing this. Everyone else just follows the teacher, and if the teacher says it's wrong, why are you doing that, that's wrong, why is it wrong, tell me why it's wrong. Again, comparison, that's only wrong because the teacher says it's wrong. I mean, that's not wrong or right, I'm just doing that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was extremely mature growing up. My father taught me everything from an early age, whereas most parents' fathers didn't, because they didn't have the father figure, or the father was retarded, like just thick. So I matured very early and I became out of sync with the rest of the people.
Okay.
I look back now, there it's awful because you want to fit in and be normal. When you look back, you realise, okay, the fact that you're not following those patterns means that you'll have an alternative life of happiness. And you look back, all these people at school, just shitty old, get a mortgage, get a flat, rent, go to work, wake up, miserable, sad lives. It's not actually a bad thing, even though then it is, it seems like it's a bad thing.
Okay. Wow. It's funny how, I mean, you know that you're forced to like go to school and then
so
work.
So glad all these children are pissed off, by the way. So noisy.
Yeah, they left now.
Oh, now the birds are tweeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know how you're like forced to study and work to pay bills and then you're retired and everything. Do you feel like all of this is necessary in the way that, don't
you
think?
It's about an hour, by the way.
Okay.
Just let you know.
Okay. Do you think that if we all lived in the jungle, we would be happier without this?
If you all lived in the jungle?
This? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah?
100%. If you took away phones, TVs, we lived in the jungle, natural sunlight, nature, animals, oxygen, we'd all be so happy.
Do you think we would be happier than with technology?
Well, again, you don't know what happiness is unless you've had it. So unless you've been in the jungle and you compare how you feel compared to how you feel with all this technology and shit, yeah, you could say, I feel better then as opposed to now. Would we be happier? Well, like, what is happiness? It's about feeling in harmony with, like, yourself, everything, which is nature. Yeah. So therefore, by default, if you're in the jungle, you will feel happier.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, if we were all in the jungle, we would be all, we'd all be smiling, singing and dancing around the campfire. We'd all be like eating food. That's, we'd all be sharing our food. None of this, fucking give me that, like, selfish prick. Like, we'd be sharing our food because it's just what you do. Like,
yeah, that's how I imagine things as well, because I feel like this is where we come from. And at the same time, I tell myself that thanks to technology, we're able to know things that are happening on the other side of the world that we have no idea. You know what I mean? Or you can learn how to sing by watching videos. I'm like, if we were living in jungle, I would have never known. Nobody would have told me that.
Yeah, maybe. And like most of the time, you would work to that yourself anyway. Like singing, you just naturally become, you can sing by making noise and you become in harmony with the other people singing with you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you can sing, which is just being in harmony. And what's the other thing you said about?
That you can like learn things that are happening on the other side.
Oh yeah,
like,
you
can
know,
teach things.
You wouldn't know that even existed. Like, how do you make a boat? Well, jungle people, they were making boats themselves. Just to chop down a tree, they worked it out themselves.
So do you think we'll be dumber?
Yeah, like, it might take longer for them to evolve and learn how to make the boat.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go on YouTube, you see like straight away, you know, dig out the middle of the tree trunk. Yeah, they could we could learn it. But over time, they'd work it out themselves.
But I feel like technology is, okay, bad in many things and toxic in many things, but I feel like it helps us to communicate with each other. Know what I
but
mean?
But again, is it because of social media and online that we have left our tribes? So we've gone abroad, we've moved across the world. So it's like, yeah, it's caused so much shit, but it's made us connect. But it's because of online and digital stuff that our families have moved away, that, yeah, we can connect, but it's because of this bloody social media anyway. They fucked off to that country. Does that make sense? So man has created a problem and found a solution to a problem it created.
Well, then everything's good then. You fix your own problem. If you see technology as a problem.
Do you think technology is worse or good?
I think both. I think both. I think it's good in so many things.
Do you think it's a blessing or a curse, or what more? Is it more of a blessing or more of a curse?
None of them. I think both of them exactly.
It's,
I think,
equal.
I think so. It's as toxic as useful as it is.
I agree. It has so much toxic and it's got so much good that it's like, if it didn't even exist, where would we be? Like, just in a country house with a log fire.
Yeah.
Playing a board game.
I think, yeah, that we lost so many values of life, or, I don't know, playing outside in the garden instead of just being on your phone all day.
Yeah, like, people are, like, just going for a walk and looking at the trees makes you feel so good.
Yeah.
And people are on their phone looking at bloody trees on Instagram. They're literally looking at a post of a tree that someone took on a walk, thinking, oh, that's nice. Get off your sleepy phone, look at that tree. Like, you know what I mean?
I know. So I think now that we have technology in our lives, we should be taught from a young age how to use it in a good way, you know? It's important to know how to not to get influenced by top models on Instagram, you know, and feel like you have to look like that, and or anything, all of the stupid challenges that you have on social media. So I think it's nice to be taught that, you know, how to use it.
Yeah, like, we have evolved from like working it out ourselves.
Yes.
Like picking up this twig, twisting it, oh, it makes a fire. But it's like, can anyone really work out how to use social media? Like, do we need to be taught it, or can you work it out yourself? Like,
you can work it out yourself, but I feel like it's important to get prepared for it, because it's a huge thing that will affect your mind in your on your daily basis.
Your welfare,
I mean?
Your life, yeah, absolutely.
Lifestyle,
like,
yeah. So it, of course you can figure out how to use it. It's not hard. I'm just saying how to use it properly. How not to let it affect you in a bad way. Only basically how to be told how to use it in a good way. You know what I mean? To take all of the good things for you that are going to be useful for your lifestyle. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Do you want to stop it?
Sure, out of mind. If you have anything else in mind, or?
No, just kind of let it just come to an end naturally, like.
Okay, sure.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Okay.